It's
we'll see. I don't hate it enough to do it again.
Good, because I am sweating.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Air Raid podcast at Viva the Matadors. You are with Albie Shore, the one and only. And once again, I'm joined by Dylan Smythe. What is up, Dylan?
How's it going, everybody?
The man that the Y is a lowercase I in his first name, yet an uppercase I in his last name. That's kind of weird.
That is correct. You know, I almost forgot to put my blanket over my head. I'm doing this for you, Red Raider Nation. I hope I sound much better now, and I look ridiculous.
Well, luckily this is a podcast and not a video cast.
That's true. They didn't even need to know that, but I just kind of want them to know the stupid things that I do for them.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I'm not going to lie, that's kind of, I would think it's weird if I was listening, you know, but, you know, but hey, that's just how it's going to roll today, all right?
You're welcome, everybody.
Well, so it is that time of the year again. It's we're now getting into August, and the best thing about August, now usually the end of August means that there's football coming. The way the calendar worked this year, the first game is until September 1st, but the training camp, fall camp has already begun, and, you know, Red Raider football team is already together. They're already getting stuff going, and I'm excited. We're almost there, people. We are almost there.
September 1st couldn't feel so far away.
But it's, you know, even though that's the case, August is wonderful because just the other day I saw on Twitter my old high school sending out notes to these 16 and 15 and 17-year-olds about two-a-days. And you start seeing training camp highlights in the NFL, and you start getting like little tidbits of fall camp. Like the fact that football, like you can smell football coming, and that's just so exciting. Like it doesn't, like even with it still feeling, it's still being a month away, it is still so exciting just to know that it is right there.
You know, this is usually when my, like, football media consumption picks up. Like, I just started binge-watching Friday Night Lights again, and Last Chance U is popping right now, so I'm getting
myself
hyped.
Last Chance U was awesome. And just for those – and Last Chance – and so for those that don't – haven't seen the last season of Last Chance U, season two had Dakota Allen, of course, and he was a star on it. Another Red Raider is actually on season three – Carlos, well, former Red Raider, Carlos Thompson, who spent a year with the Red Raiders back, what was it, 2013? No, back a while ago. He's still trekking. He's actually on this latest season of Last Chance U. He's definitely one of the bright spots on it, I think, once again, kind of showing the character of former Red Raiders, because even though he messed up while, you know, his time bouncing around, he's kind of a high character guy in the show. So definitely another one to look out. And then, of course, Cliff, Hocut and Allen both all make appearances in this last season as well. So definitely something to check out.
Ladies, treat your man. Let them watch Last Chance U. Pick it on Sunday night. It'll be all right.
Oh, and then also, Friday Night Lights is the greatest drama show in the history of drama shows. It is an absolutely incredible show.
Texas forever.
Yes. So, but like I was saying, as far as getting into it, what are you looking forward to see in fall camp?
Who's going to play quarterback? That's kind of a big one for me.
I think it's different for everybody. I think for the most part, everybody, that's the question that's on everyone's mind. I can't remember another time when everything seems so sure except for that position, right? Like the receivers are starting. We've kind of figured out who the starting receivers are probably going to be. We kind of know the running back battles is basically between Ward and King. Like we kind of, everything else has fallen into place, but the most important position on the team. What do you think about that?
I feel like early on, everyone was all pro Jet Duffy. And I feel like the longer this whole process has drug on, the more opinions are starting to come out. And if I, honestly, I want to see Alan Bowman play, but I don't know. With Cliff being on the hot seat and having to have a really good year, I don't know if he's going to hand the reins to a freshman right away.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reason why everyone's cooled on Jed Duffy is because we kind of saw him in a couple scrimmages and we're like, oh. That's, so, I mean, the thing about it is I was Team Duffy all the way until I saw him in a couple scrimmages, and I was like, man, you know what? The thing is the athleticism is there. We all see it. I mean, there's no doubt about that. He would be, I mean, Kyler Murray's probably the most athletic quarterback in the Big 12. He'd probably be second, or maybe even right there with Kyler Murray as far as athleticism. The guy's not accurate at all. Yeah. That's his problem. He's just not accurate at all. He has all the intangibles there, but unfortunately, at the quarterback position, I'd argue that accuracy is probably the most important thing, and he's just absolutely not accurate. And then you have McClain Carter, that first quarter against UT is not going to fool me. I don't see a quality quarterback in that guy either. So I will say that I was. Whenever we first got Alan Bowman, I was not on the hype train. I did not like his tape. I wasn't a fan of Alan Bowman. Actually, in our Slack, I actually argued that it showed that the quality of quarterback we used to get isn't the same because Alan Bowman is just not up to par. I actually said that. But in spring, he looked the best out of the three quarterbacks. Now, of course, he wasn't going up against as good competition because he wasn't really running with the ones. But his ball looked the best. He threw the best deep ball, threw the best intermediate ball. It was a great spiral. Like, he looked the part that Duffy and Carter just simply did not. And our rumblings have been going on that he actually looks like the best quarterback and that he actually has just as good of a chance to start as the other two. So it's just like you said, whether Cliff in what is the most important year of his career is willing to take a chance on a true freshman.
And, you know, I think maybe something to think about here is we're having one of the best recruiting classes. If Cliff puts together the rest of this recruiting class, it'll be the best class he's brought in since he's been here at Texas Tech. So does he really want to take his chances with the freshman this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Cliff's done it before. But last time he did it, it was between two true freshmen. So he really didn't have a choice. Right. Brewer was hurt. You know, he didn't have a choice. Now you're going up against, okay, well, I have a guy who played a game last year but wasn't really good in it. I have another guy that's been here for a couple of years but missed a full year because of off-field issues and is kind of volatile. Neither one is really as good. I mean, we talked about Shamonic all last year and how nervous he made us. I think Shamonic blows both of these guys out of the water.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I think if Bowman is the guy, and if, like I said, in the spring, to me, Bowman looked, he's the only one that looked the part. You kind of have to go take that chance on the true freshman because at the very least, you know, even I look at Davis Webb and Baker, their true freshman years, and if we get that type of production, even though both of them were really up and down their true freshman year, especially Baker, goodness, but even though they were both up and down their true freshman year, coming off of what I saw in spring, I think I would rather have a guy like a true freshman like that as opposed to both of these guys who, man, they just can't throw.
Yep, agreed. I think Alan Bowman, if I had to pick one of the three today, that's the one I would like to see play on September 1st.
Yeah, for sure. And then you already kind of touched on the recruiting class. I mean, so let's talk about it a little bit. Today, or Tuesday, Gilbert Abenemy from Pearland, strong side DN, committed to the Red Raiders. Huge commit. I was talking to you pre-pod, and I actually went. I saw a game. I live in Houston, so my daughter plays soccer in Pearland all the time. I go to Pearland all the time, and so I actually saw a game at the Rig where he played, and the guy was a beast. I mean, he stood out. I didn't even know. I didn't have to look him up who he was or anything like that. Like, that guy, I was like, man, this guy's good. And that was him as a junior. So he can play. There's no doubt about it. And so the fact that we get a guy like this, and a guy, not only is he a four-star, but he, you know, he had an offer to A&M, had an offer to OU, had an offer to TCU. And for Tech to steal a Houston area guy with those offers, that is huge. Absolutely huge. I can't say enough about that.
Yeah, and I actually I had watched his tape right before we hopped on this pod, and he was making kids look silly. It's not the tackles; it looks like they're not even trying to block him. So I'm pretty excited. Pair him with a couple of other defensive ends we got in the class. It looks like we're reloading that defensive line. Should be pretty solid.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, like as we kind of, everybody knows that we're gonna have a probably the best defense we've had since the Ruffin years this next upcoming year. But a lot of people are going to assume that it's because we're just loaded at you know, we just have a bunch of seniors. That's true. We do have a lot of seniors. We also have a lot of depth. You know, like, we have a lot of sophomores. We have a lot of juniors. Like, so it's kind of – we're in this weird area where I personally am not a big fan of Cliff. I'm not sure if he's the guy. But at the same time, especially on the defensive side of the ball and even on O-line as well, we have a lot of depth that we just haven't had in his entire time here. So you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, well, you know, if – and I know I'm jumping the gun here, but that could ruin basically what's been built up for the past 2-3 years, you know. Unfortunately, the most important position is the quarterback position, and there's no way around it. It's just awful right now unless Bowman really comes through.
Well, so. I don't know if you can say it's awful because honestly, none of us really know what we have. So we'll see what happens. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's going to have to shock me. A little birdie did say, I'm not necessarily going to say who, but a little birdie did say that in the practices, Bowman has looked the best. Bowman has practiced with the ones in fall camp, from what I understand. And he, even there, he looks the best. It's just a matter of, are you willing to start a true freshman that's only been here for a semester? That's truly all it is.
And
that's
during a make or break year.
During a make or break. Yeah, that's very important. During a make or break year. Maybe if you knew you had 2019 and 2020, then you said, okay, well, at least get him ready this year, and, you know, stuff like that. But this is it. This is the best defense Cliff's ever had.
Right.
You know, this is the best. I mean, you could argue this might even be the best O-line Cliff's ever had. You know, it's just this is just the worst year to have quarterback problems.
Can you imagine if Pat Mahomes had this team?
Yeah, I mean, oh my. Had this team in this Big 12 year. Because, mind you, this is not a strong Big 12 we're going up against.
Well, yeah, because I think 5 teams have new quarterbacks, at least 5.
Who's the favorite in the Big 12 right now? West Virginia?
West Virginia or Oklahoma?
Who's also going – who also has a new quarterback. A new quarterback who's only going to be there for 1 year.
Right.
You know, so, like, this is a weak Big 12. Hell, give me another year of Shamanic. I would take it.
Yeah, we were all sick of Chimnick last summer, but now we're all thinking, like, damn, if we could just have him back for one more year.
Just one more year. So I will say my transition game is strong right now because, speaking of Shamanic, apparently he's been doing pretty well in Chargers training camp. He's still on the team, made it through a rookie camp, made it through voluntary workouts, and he's still on the team going into training camp. But, you know, the fact of the matter with Shamanic is that they're not going to – right now the Chargers have 4 quarterbacks. You know Rivers is the starter, and you know they're not going to keep 4. They may keep 3, but they're definitely not keeping 4. So the question is right now is, will Shamanic be good enough to beat out Cardale Jones and Geno Smith, or at least one of them, for a spot on the team? But word on the street is he's done pretty well for himself in training camp.
Yeah, and, you know, hopefully he gets his shot in preseason, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean – I think Shamanic making the team would be big for Kingsbury's legacy.
As the quarterback whisperer?
Yeah, I mean, if Shamanic makes the team, that means that Kingsbury, every single quarterback that has ever started for Cliff Kingsbury, would have made it in the NFL.
Yeah.
That's Case Keenum. That's Johnny Manziel. That's every single one would have made it in the NFL. I don't know very many coaches that can say that even from their coordinator days, every single guy that I've ever coached that started a game for me has made it in the NFL. That'd be incredible for him.
Right.
And speaking of quarterbacks, I saw a couple clips of Davis Webb tossing the ball around. He looks good too.
Yeah, I saw him in the rain, on the run, running outside the pocket, slinging it down the field across the sideline.
Davis Webb got to be ready this year because, mind you, Eli got benched last year. And even though Giants fans were really pissed about Eli getting benched, I don't think it's far-fetched to think it couldn't happen again, you know, or an injury could happen. Eli's old. So Davis right now is the primary backup. The Giants, at the very least, are confident in him now to say, you know what, we don't need to go out and get another backup. He's our guy. We don't even need to – they didn't even draft a quarterback. Like,
lies. They did draft a quarterback.
No, I mean in the first round.
It was like a fifth rounder.
Yeah, it was a fifth round pick. But they didn't even – what I'm saying is that – when a team that had the second overall pick that has an aging quarterback, for them not to draft a quarterback there, I was shocked.
Yeah.
I had already penciled in Darnold or somebody in, or Rosen. Rosen's who I penciled. I already penciled him in the number two spot because I'm thinking they need to have the drafted quarterback. So to me, that tells me they're really confident in Davis Webb that if something is to happen to Eli, or if Eli either gets hurt or just falls off the deep end, actually not even the deep end, falls off the shallow end, that we're confident that he can do it. And from those clips, it seems like he could.
Let's hop back over to the Chargers. I've heard some news about Dylan Cantrell being the most impressive receiver or the most improved receiver in camp for the Chargers. And that's a direct quote from former Red Raider Anthony Lynn.
So speaking of which, I'm looking at this article right here from Chargers.com. Dylan Cantrell turns heads on day two of training camp. That's from the official Chargers website.
Yep.
So that I mean, that tells you. So it's safe to say that Cantrell's on the team.
Oh yeah, he's on the team.
Yeah, so very. Just in case there was any doubt, he's on the team. And now you wonder, okay, well, just how much is he going to play this year? You know, usually sixth round rookies you don't really see them. You see them more as special team guys or depth. But if he's turning heads like this, okay, well, maybe he does get to play.
Imagine they run a four wide receiver set. You're telling me he's not at least thought about to get that number four slot?
Yeah, I mean, you got to think so, right? And he's so versatile because he's so big. Yeah, he's so athletic and he's so quick that you really can put him anywhere on the field. And of course, we saw his hands. He can catch anything.
And I don't think of him as a tight end, but they did lose Hunter Henry for this season. And I know they like to work him into those four wide receiver slots. And who knows, maybe Cantrell fills that role for him this year.
Yeah, you can definitely put him in a tight slot situation. I definitely like that. And speaking of a guy that can catch anything, let's go to my team. Houston Texans that have Kiki Kuti. And I will say, I was talking to a guy at work today because I was talking about it, and they were talking about the receivers. And so with the Texans, for those that don't know, Braxton Miller is the starting slot for the Texans. He is. Kiki Kuti is trying to take that spot away from him. And the coaches were one of the coaches, I can't remember who it was, one of the coaches was talking, and they were talking about the receivers, and they said, you know, we have DeAndre Hopkins. He's doing really well. You know, the chemistry's great. You know, other guys that are really impressing. Of course, Will Fuller's looking good. Bruce Ellington's looking good. Kiki Kuti looks great. I'm that Braxton guy. He looks good, too. He's okay, too.
Yeah, he's okay.
To me, if you ask me, it sounds like Kiki already has the job. You know, everything that I'm saying is that they've been – DeAndre Hopkins has been impressed since day one. The coaches have been just – they didn't even know what they were getting when they drafted him in the fourth round. And it's kind of what I've been saying before is that people don't know, but Kiki Kuti in the fourth round is a steal.
Yeah, we touched on it in the last podcast, and I don't think anything has changed. I think he's going to get that role.
Yeah. I mean, Kiki Kuti is – I think that he is one of the most skilled Texas Tech receivers to ever come through. I said it. I don't know if anyone heard me say it in the pod last year, but I'll say it again. I think he's one of the most skilled. I put him right up there with Crabb, right up there with Welker. When it comes to talent, he's one of the most talented wide receivers Tech has ever had.
Let's talk about another Tech receiver. He may not be the most talented, but he's probably one of my favorite Red Raiders of all time, Jakeem the Dream Grant.
Jakeem's up there too. No, don't get it twisted.
Well, I read the headline right now. What website I'm on. It doesn't matter. The headline is Jakeem Grant is dominating training camp.
If you go to the Dolphins Twitter page, almost every other video highlight from training camp is Jakeem Grant.
Yeah, just going up and making catches he has no business going up and getting.
Yeah, and the funny thing about it is when Jakeem was at Tech, remember, everybody knew him as the speedy guy, the guy that could, you know, it was the fastest guy we ever seen. But up until his senior year, it was, but he can't really catch, right? Like, it was like, but... we're not going to throw any deep ball. We'll get him on a screen.
Right. He was a gimmick receiver, or at least that's what people thought he was.
Yeah. And senior year was really when he started to catch. But, you know, but with Jakeem, it was still okay, but now he's going to the NFL. You know, it's a little different. He's going to have to be able to catch with his hands. Can he do it? That guy's going up and getting it, getting the ball at its highest point. He has truly improved his hands. He's not a natural ball catcher like Kuti is, or like Cantrell is. But he is really, you can tell that's what he's worked on, is catching the ball with his hands. He's a guy's first couple years in the league has kind of been a gimmick receiver. Rookie year didn't really do too much. Last year got in the game a couple times and balled out. And so now I'm thinking he has to be an every down receiver by now, right?
This is his breakout year. This is it for him.
And usually the third year in the NFL is usually when guys really start to break out. So, so you definitely have to hope so. And then, you know, last but not least, there are a couple other Red Raiders in the NFL we're not necessarily going to touch on, but we got to get to the guy, the man, the guy we need to talk about, which is our man, Pat Mahomes. So what is he going to, which record is he going to break this year? Touchdowns, yards, wins, which one are we going for?
I don't know if he's going to break like national records or anything, but I think he's going to lead the Chiefs to an AFC championship.
What, like 19-0?
19-0, undefeated. He's going to throw for 10,000 yeah. years. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's
all reasonable. Aboard the Patrick Mahomes hype train.
Yeah, to say the least. Tyreek Hill the other day just came out and said that Pat Mahomes is the most talented quarterback he'd ever played with.
The only quarterback who's ever been able to hit him in stride.
Yeah, and I think that speaks to two things. Not just arm strength, right? Because we all know he has arm strength. But hit him in stride. Actually be accurate with it, right?
Right, have some touch behind the power.
Yeah, and so power doesn't mean anything when you're not, you know, nobody cares about power when it's not getting to you.
Right.
You know, so Pat Mahomes is going to wow people this year. I truly believe that. I saw on FS1 the other day, they had the Chiefs, I think, at 6 wins this year, 6 or 7 wins because of Alex Smith going down and the idea that a second-year quarterback, they don't know too much about him. And I just sat back and laughed. Like, y'all really do not know.
Yeah, just sit back and watch. Whoever said that, just sit back and watch. Pat Mahomes. Pat, if you're listening, I want to play Fortnite with you. Let's get it.
You crazy kids in your Fortnite. I can't get into it.
It for the brand. I'm doing it for Viva.
I can't get into it. I don't know how to do it. I've tried it once. I was like, this is dumb. I can't do it. I'm gonna just stick to my Madden, my 2K, my MLB The Show. I'm actually addicted to MLB The Show right now. It is a fantastic game. But FIFA's about to come out, so that's my next one. But that's about it. I can't do the Fortnite.
Well, anyways, I was just going to shoot my shot there.
I can't. I even call it the Fortnite. So that's how you know
Fortnite.
That, like, I'm getting old.
Take this L, Albert. Take the L.
Well, anything you want to say to the people, Dylan?
No, I don't think so. I think we pretty much covered everything we were talking about.
Yeah. I mean, it's all gravy on this side. What's your Twitter name, Dylan?
Dylan Smythe 92. Check me out.
And as you all know, this is at Mr_AlbieShore. It's been real, people. This is you've been talking to Albert and Dylan with the Air Raid Podcast from the View of the Matadors.